Yesterday, we had a Zoom meeting that we had to be on, and Raven fell asleep.
I drifted in and out, all right, momentarily. I mean, fall asleep is like, I think I lay down and I have a dream.
And it was the most exciting thing to happen during that Zoom.
Right.
Because I was able to quickly screenshot him sleeping.
Well, I thought you were asleep for like 10, 15 minutes before that. You were staring off into a corner. So we're having this Zoom meeting. We can't have it in the same room or else it creates like this weird echo effect. So Anna goes in another room. There's a window there. Now, I could see you in that room. I could see you on the Zoom call. And I know the layout of that room.
Yep.
And about 10 minutes into the meeting, I'll say, Anna is staring off into a corner of the room like there's a spirit there.
Yep.
Like when a child has a picture and there's an orb or something in there and you think, wow, there must be like a ghost there or something.
Mm-hmm.
I know this because there's nothing in that room there in front of you where you were looking.
I was 100% about to fall asleep too.
I was like,
I can't fall asleep. Like, this is an important like meeting. I mean, granted, it was long, but it was an important meeting. So I did some research about how to stay awake during really boring Zoom meetings, especially when you have to keep your video on like we do, right?
I mean, I had to get up and jog around a bit, but okay, what do you got?
Actually, the number four reason, the thing to do to stay awake during Zoom meetings is to excuse yourself. It says, if anything, just excuse yourself. You have to go to the bathroom.
lie, and claim that you have to do something embarrassing, right? Like go to the bathroom right now in the middle of this meeting rather than fall asleep. I guess that's better, right?
It says splash cold water on your face and like by being able to step out of the room and stretching out, you'll re-wake yourself. So that's one thing you can do to stay awake during boring Zoom meetings.
Right.
A second, you also did at one point, and I couldn't get a picture fast enough, is have a snack.
Yeah. So once I got up and walked around, I walked to the other side of the room and I got an orange that I've had in a cabinet for about a week.
Yep.
I was like, this is the time, I need it.
All I see is Raven like hunched over. He's eating into the Zoom camera, into the middle of it. I go, what is dripping off his chin right now?
At least my eyes were open.
Right. The number three thing you can do to stay awake during a Zoom meeting is to participate. So if you speak
get involved.
Up, yeah, you have to do it. So I did. I
know you did.
Asked
and
a question.
And you were like second out of the gate with a question. I was like, oh yeah, she's doing that to stay awake.
100%. I was like, I have to ask a question. Otherwise, I'm not going to stay awake because then it'll make me like I have to interact at that point. And the number one thing it says that you should do to stay awake during a Zoom meeting is instead of sitting in a chair, you should stand up and make yourself as uncomfortable as possible and lower the air as low as it'll possibly go.
Well, you know that we've got automatic thermostats in here. If we can figure out the thermostats in here, then, you know, we would be magicians. But, I mean, what do I stand on a thumbtack, I guess?
No, we're going to have to take all our Zooms from, like, my parents' restaurant freezer. That's what we're going to do. We're just going to be sitting on a big stack of frozen meat.
Perfect.
He's the keeper of the castle.
He didn't weed whack the lawn all summer.
He's a caring dog dad.
The dog hasn't been out since 2:00.
He's the romance king.
We haven't been on a date in 6 months.
It's time for Raven's report card.
Checking in with Raven's wife, Alicia, to see how he's been behaving as a husband. Alicia, how's he been doing? You been good?
Yeah, he actually has. You know, the dog has been injured for the past almost week and a half, so he can't have any joy in his life. He can't, you know, jump or run or play or do anything. So he's been on a leash, even in the backyard. That's been stressful. And I had to have like a couple biopsies on my back and my arm that he has to take care of because I can't reach him.
Oh,
so he's been doing good.
That's great.
I mean, all I've been really, I don't feel like I've been a hero. I don't deserve a medal or anything like that. I'm just doing all I can to make sure everybody else survives this time.
Okay.
The fact that the dog, by the way, gets no joy means neither of us get any joy either at this point. So every time the dog makes a move, looks like he wants to jump on top of something, jump off of something, we have to be paranoid. So I don't pay attention to what my wife's been doing this past week, just what the dog is doing. And then every time my wife calls and says it's itching or put something on it or take this off or whatever, that's what I do.
It seems like the right thing to do.
ER nurses, they get a lot of credit. I'm sure there's a bit more to what they're doing, but I'm saying that if there's a training program, I think I can skip the first few months.
So you think that putting lotion and ointment on your wife's areas on her back is equivalent to what an emergency room nurse does when somebody comes through those doors?
You forgot carrying around the dog on a bum leg.
Okay.
All right. I'm doing that too.
Just want to make sure we're on the same page.
I mean, I don't know what your city's ER looks like on a Friday night.
Yeah.
Raven says you've been consumed lately with the yard work again. Is he pulling his weight? I know last year he kind of made you do everything.
I haven't really started yet. I'm dreading it, you know, because it'll be once I trim something back, it's going to grow.
So it always happens.
It's going to grow like crazy, and then I'm just going to have to do it for the rest of the season. So I haven't begun yet, but it's haunting me. It's all staring at me and old leaves, and it's terrible. I have to get on it.
Alicia, nobody believes me when I tell them that Raven took his ride-on lawnmower and put it through the fence multiple times, and that's why he's not allowed to use it anymore. True or false?
True. Yeah. 100% true. The first time he drove into it and it stayed attached, and then the second time he knocked it down and drove over it.
Good. Right.
So. Yeah. Right. Like Dukes of Hazzard, same thing, or Smokey and the Bandit.
Yep.
Alicia didn't see me working in the yard the other day, which was probably a good thing because we've got, you know, gaps under the fence or whatever. So I was taking stone from one area of the yard, the stone wall, and then, you know, shoring up the fence there, and I had my shirt off.
Oh.
Yeah, it was like a bear out there roaming around the yard.
Well, you should eat healthy. Stop complaining when I try to feed you vegetables. I mean,
the funniest thing was, I come in after doing the job, and she walks in right at that moment. She goes, "Why are you soaking wet?" I said, "Oh, I was moving these rocks." I was like, "It was a big job." She's like, "It wasn't nearly that big of a job." I thought she was looking at me like I was having a heart attack.
I was. It wasn't even hot, and you're like pouring sweat like it was 100 degrees outside. It doesn't make any sense.
Do you think it's weird when guys work in the front yard, like in front of people can see them with no shirt on? I yell at my husband, Paul, all the time. I'm like, put on a shirt. No one wants to see that. And he says that guys do that all the time.
Yeah, it is totally weird because I do most of the yard work, and it's hot out there. I want to take my shirt off.
Yeah, what if Alicia took her shirt off?
I could be out in the front with a bikini on, you know? I mean, he would be like, what are you doing?
Right.
Listen, sports bra, I'm here for your rights.
Mm-hmm. All right, what kind of grade would you like to give Raven for the week?
I'm going to give him an A, Anna. He's been pretty awesome.
That's great news. Congratulations, Raven.
I mean, this is surprising even to me.
That's all I need to know about you.
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 All you have to do is fill in the blank. If you blank, that's all I need to know about you.
If you are scouring the internet today or talking to your friends and maybe dialing up some physicians, even sending messages through your MyChart sign-in sheet there with your medical provider, given the fact that you want more information about the possibility that the first vaccine dosage may have given you a groin injury.
Oh, here we go.
That's all I need to know about you. I can't walk.
Raven.
Right? I mean, seriously. Okay.
I thought we weren't going to discuss this on the air.
I can't walk, all right? It's been an uncomfortable 24 to 36 hours. I thought I was doing fine, no side effects off my first Pfizer shot and all that. And, you know, I don't know.
Okay.
This isn't normal.
Raven came in this morning. Let me give the backstory. And he says, I'm not feeling great. Now, he had the vaccine a couple days ago.
Yeah.
2 days ago now.
Wednesday.
Yeah.
Yep.
And I was like, what do you mean? And he was like, my groin hurts.
Yeah.
I go, Raven.
Yeah.
I've heard of the headaches, the sore arm, the fatigue.
I can't smell. I can't taste. Right. Any of that stuff. Right. That's normal stuff.
The newest thing is that a small percentage of people, one of the side effects is their mouths taste like nickels. It's like you're sucking on a whole bag of nickels.
Oh, my gosh. Wait a minute. I have had something like that. But I figured I just had rank breath.
Yep.
Okay.
I would go with that. So he comes in and he goes, it's my groin. My groin really hurts. I go, what? And he goes, I asked Alicia, his wife, if maybe she accidentally kicked me in the groin when I'm sleeping.
A real thing, man, because yesterday I could not walk. We took the dogs for a walk and I was like hobbled over halfway down the street. I couldn't do it.
But Alicia says that she could have possibly kicked you in the groin last night. And she does it often.
She says she kicked me in the leg. And she also then confessed. She confessed two things. Number one, that she kicked me in the leg.
Yeah.
And number two, that she has a sharp nail. So she thought that she cut me in the middle of the night. So I'm like, what are you doing kicking me in general?
Mm-hmm.
Are you just a violent sleeper? And she's like, no, when you snore, sometimes I'll kick you. And then I'm like, well, wait a minute. How often does this happen? Because you're clearly not opening your eyes if you're kicking me. And today I can't walk.
Okay.
It's either that or the vaccine, man. It's one or the other.
So you either think the vaccine gave you a groin injury or your wife kicking you because you're snoring is so loud in the middle of the night.
I'm telling you, man. It's uncomfortable.
Can you please call the doctor and ask if that's a side effect while I'm sitting right here? I need to hear that conversation.
I have a direct number, actually, for one of my doctors.
You should just call him and be like, has anybody reported groin injuries?
Right. You know what? Let me give you the information while you're collecting it. It is a large, you know, medical facility that I'm going to for this shot. It's not one of these convention stops. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, I'll try him. Sure. Okay. I have a direct number. He seems to answer whenever I call, actually.
Okay. That's all I need to know about you. All right, Raven, if you take 28 napkins from a restaurant and then you throw them out, that's all I need to know about you.
Oh, come on. I mean, if anything, if you're stocking up with your napkins, you got to fill your glove box. You're going to need those things. They're always useful.
Absolutely. So to me, when I take all those extra napkins and I'm stealing them, and listen, fast food places, they've caught on.
Right.
They put that machine now that you can only take one at a time.
That's
it's
right.
not going to stop me.
You're going to have to put the effort in, and then you can be shamed with their eyes while you do it.
I saw a guy, he had all the napkins, and then he walked by the trash bin, and he put it in the garbage. I go, what are you doing?
Right.
Those are perfectly good napkins that you took, and now you're throwing away. Those belong in your car's glove compartment for any accidents that you may incur in the next 3 years.
Sad, sad, sad. It's like kicking a polar bear baby in the face.
That's all I need to know about you. What did the wind wreck for you? 1-800-330-9999. Our boss was so insistent that the winds are now at an all-time high. This is the most powerful winds we've ever had in history.
Terrible tornado yesterday. You saw that, right?
Yeah.
I mean, I thought he was crazy when he said it, but like, winds are up.
He's like, we need to talk about the wind. I go, what? She's like, the wind.
Real conversation we had.
He's like, the wind is wrecking everything. I was like, it is? But then the crazy part is that I did some research, Raven, and he's right.
Come on.
Yeah.
He can't be right. I think it's just because he owns a house now. Now he sees the things that the wind blows around.
No, it's true. A study found that the winds across most of North America, Europe, and Asia have been growing faster than normal since 2010. And in the last 10 years, I know this doesn't sound like a lot, but the average wind speed has increased from 7 miles per hour to 7.4 miles per hour.
Wow.
It doesn't sound like a ton.
Oh, my gosh. Thanks, Bush.
Yeah.
Good job.
But it translates to 17% increase in wind power. And at this rate, by 2024, it's going to be like a 37% increase, which doesn't make a whole lot of sense to me. But you know what it does mean?
Well, I don't know.
More stuff flying around.
Okay.
Yeah. So what exactly is wind?
What causes wind? The sun heats the earth unevenly. Warm air expands and rises. It now weighs less and creates a low pressure area. This movement of air is the wind.
I don't know any better than I knew before. I think I can feel it. You lick your thumb and you stick it up in the air and you might be able to tell which direction it's coming from.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. What did the wind wreck for you, Raven?
Oh, you know, I mean, in the time just that you have known me, how many gazebos have I lost? Like soldiers
so
out there in the lawn area, I have lost, seriously, at this point, at least 3 gazebos in the times that you have known me. And, you know, it's always the wrong time of year to lose a gazebo, right? The wind comes out, yet the sun is going to be high. And I'm sad because I got to go out there and rip that thing apart with a Sawzall after and cut it up into pieces small enough to actually fit into my trash can.
I don't know why you don't buy higher quality gazebos.
I'm actually building one this year.
Okay.
Wood.
Yeah.
It will be strong.
Get some sandbags or something. I mean, after you lost the first gazebo.
No, I did that before. No, it's like a, you know, it'll just take it away, man. It's like a sail.
You would think after the second lost gazebo, maybe you would do something about it.
Well, when you need shade, you're ready for the shade then. So you go to the store, you're like, oh, that's nice. Great. Boom. You set it up. And then, you know, in the fall, it's dead again.
We have this one tree, and I said I wanted to take the tree down, but it's really big, and it's on both me and my neighbor's property.
Second you bought that house, you said you wanted to take that tree down.
The neighbors refused to split the cost with us. It is a massive tree that is
huge,
dead.
Huge,
yeah. And they won't split the cost, so my husband keeps cutting back branches on our side, but won't just suck it up and take the whole thing down, right?
Right, right.
And every time it gets windy, we just sit there and pray. Like,
it's like an ominous feature in your yard.
And last
it's waiting
time,
to kill you.
It's only a matter of time. It really is.
Right.
But last time, one of those branches came like a javelin right through the top of my kitchen ceiling.
Yeah.
It came right through. And I was like, is this a sign that we should take the tree down? We went and we approached them again. Well, unfortunately, the javelin didn't go through their kitchen roof.
That's right.
That tree is still standing.
Zero cares over there on that side.
At this rate, by 2024, when the wind increases by 37%, we are really not in a good situation. What did the wind wreck for you? 1-800-330-9999. When our boss said, you guys got to talk about the wind and how it's increased so much.
He was so worked up about it in that meeting.
We were like, what? This is a thing? Then we did some research and found out, no, he's actually right. It's increased like 17% over the last 10 years. And they're saying it's going to increase 37% over the next 3 years.
The wind has destroyed 3 gazebos in my yard. And every time there's a big windstorm, my grill is in the shrubs.
Yep. Yeah. 1-800-330-9999. Anna and Raven, what did the wind wreck for you?
It ruined my house. I've had 2 tornadoes hit my house in the last 3 years.
Two tornadoes hit your house? Come on.
That is some bad luck right there.
I mean, that's insane, right? I mean, who would have thought? You would have never thought when you were putting that together, when you were making that deal.
Never thought. I just ripped 13 trees down around my house in December. Still haven't moved back yet. Been out of my house since August.
That's the worst.
Yeah.
Man, so we're making progress.
Yeah, best of luck, man. Thank you for the call. Yeah, Anna and Raven, what did the wind wreck on you?
It completely blew away our kids' playhouse out into the street, and then a car hit it, and, you know, our kids were completely devastated.
Who do you think is more devastated? The car that hit the random playhouse that just flew into the street?
Oh.
Or your kids?
100%. The guy, if I'm driving down the road and all of a sudden a house rolls into the middle of the street like Twister, except it's made of plastic and it's only 4 foot tall and it goes through my windshield?
Yep.
Oh, I'm 100%. I'm mad at you, too. The kids are mad at you. I'm mad at you. We're all mad at you.
Playhouses and any like children's toys outside are goners in a windstorm. It's out of there. Forget it. Those little pools, the plastic pools, forget it.
Bye.
Like, that's going to be like 3 blocks down. Hi, it's Ian on Raven. What are the wind wreck?
The last windy night we had, our patio umbrella blew right off the table and through the sliding door on a patio. Thought someone had broken into our house, but nah, it was just the wind breaking in.
Wow.
I mean, you got to wrap those up. You got to close those down, man. I mean, that thing will take somebody out. It's like a javelin with a sail on it.
I had a really sharp, we were talking about it earlier, I had a sharp branch that literally pierced right through the top of my roof in my kitchen during a windstorm. It was just like a javelin. It was the same thing.
That was fun times.
Hi, it's Anna and Raven. What did the wind wreck?
Oh, I cannot tell you how many flags I buy to keep in front of the house. When the wind gets bad, I always lose my flag. It doesn't matter what it's made of. It doesn't matter how long it's been outside. I probably lost at least 8 or more flags when the wind gets really, really strong.
You love flags. Right. After, like, the first 2 went, I'd be like, oh, well, I tried.
Right. I give it up. Right. Yeah. At that point.
There's something wrong with your mount. That's the problem. Stop buying flags. Buy a new mount.
Right. And where is the house where all these flags are landing? Because I hate you.
You wake up in the morning, you look outside, you're like, Barry, there's another flag in the yard. Where is it coming from?
Terrible.
Yeah. Hi, it's Anna and Raven. What did the wind wreck?
I mean, you know, around here, it's pretty common for the wind to knock down basketball hoops.
Oh, yeah.
My story is so much worse. So the wind knocked down my basketball hoop, but managed to do it just at the right angle that it then smashed through the window of my garage and then my car window.
No.
Basketball hoop wrecked, garage window smashed, car window destroyed.
Oh, man.
Terrible.
Literally everywhere.
Yeah, insurance claims, too. Have fun with that.
That's not fun. I can't believe you're laughing about it. It's one of those things that you think to yourself, this will be funny one day, but then it's never funny.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
What did the wind wreck for you? Head to our Facebook page. Search Anna and Raven. Well, you get the news that your best friends are getting divorced. And now you're in that awkward situation where, well, do I have to choose one of you? Am I expected to do that? Now what?
Yeah, it's so difficult, right? And sometimes they can make it easier on you. But let's face it, a lot of times they make it harder.
Dr. Patrick Wanis, he's a human behavior expert. You can visit him online at patrickwanis.com. Dr. Wanis, when you're put in this situation, what should you do?
Well, I think the most important thing is to analyze the context. In other words, is this to their advantage to divorce? Is it to the advantage of the children? Because if the parents are really arguing a lot and creating a lot of tension, and if there's any sort of verbal or emotional abuse in the household, then it's better for them to divorce. So you've got to look at the whole thing and say, what's in the best interest of everyone? The couple as well as the children. That's step number one.
So you have to choose based on who you think the bad guy is?
Well, maybe no. If it's a good idea that they're getting divorced, you give them both a pat on the back.
Now, I'm not saying here that you decide who's right and who's wrong. I'm saying if you believe that it's in their best interests, then you'll support them to actually go through with the divorce. If you truly believe that they can resolve this and that it is in their best interest to resolve it, then you give them that sort of support. But you don't take sides.
But what do you do when it's all said and done? Like, there is nothing else you can do as a supportive friend to get involved. You're kind of at that crossroads where they have separate lives. Is it okay to still be friends with both of them?
You have to discuss it with both of them. You've got to be able to go to each of them and say, I'm still going to be friends with John and with Mary, and then get their feedback and let them know that your intention isn't to hurt them, but you still have a relationship. We've got to be careful of this concept of blind loyalty. You've got to be loyal to what's right and what's wrong, not just loyal to the person because, well, we've been friends forever, and even though John cheated on his wife and he took all her money from the account, I'm still going to be loyal to him. That's not correct.
Right.
Right.
That one feels more obvious than others.
Yeah.
Well, and sometimes it is black and white, but usually it's not.
Well, it's true, because I'm in a situation like that right now where a friend of mine said, like, I hate to do this, but you kind of have to choose. You're with me or you're with him. And obviously I'm with her. He's a cheater. But, you know,
but if he wasn't
and it was just like it deteriorated out of nowhere, then I think it would be tougher to make that call.
Yeah, and I think when you sit down to speak with the other person, whether it's the husband or the wife, you want to explain to them that whatever your relationship is with them, it's not that you are picking sides. It's not that you think they are right. It's not that you're choosing one over the other, but you still have a relationship with them. What happens if you're working with them? What happens if you have a business with them? You can't always just cut them off.
And then what I find too, Doctor, is that with children, I mean, that becomes so much more exponentially difficult, right? I mean, because now your kids' lives are intertwined also.
Yes. And I think the message that you could relay to each person is to say that regardless of your divorce and regardless of all the pain and the hurt that you've experienced and the other person's experienced, my love, my admiration, my connection, my friendship with you will not change. And it's the same thing you have to say to your children. If you're divorcing, you've got to say to your children, regardless of what happens between mummy and daddy, I still love you. My love for you won't change. Nothing will change. Another important point to make here is that children always tend to blame themselves whenever their parents divorce. If your children are interacting with their children and you have the opportunity and it's appropriate in the context, you could say to them, whatever happened between your mummy and daddy is not your fault. The problems that your mummy and daddy are having are not about you, and it's not your fault, and it's not your job to try and rescue them. And that makes a big difference, because children will lose their innocence and lose their childhood when they're given these heavy responsibilities.
Dr. Patrick Juanes, you can find him online at patrickjuanes.com.
And now we join Anna and Raven's coverage of the March Gladness Tournament.
It's March Gladness. We are crowning the number one thing that makes you happy. If you'd like to see the full bracket and make your predictions, you can head to annaandraven.com. Every day, Raven, it is a new matchup. You can call by you can vote by calling or texting 1-800-330-9999.
You know, a lot of times when we get into the bracket, Anna, you'll see new competitors, new teams, things that you've never heard of before. And when you consider it, you say to yourself, boy, they really are a great challenge. Mm-hmm. But today we have two tried and true champions that have been here before. Regardless of their rankings in the middle of the bracket today, they're still things that no matter what, when they show up, you've got to take them seriously.
And I'll be honest, because you can vote early on social media, I've been monitoring our pages, and I see that the number 4 seed has pulled ahead, but I don't think people fully understand the impact and the importance of the number 5 seed today.
Number 4 seed in the Raven division today, finding fries at the bottom of your fast food bag. This happened to me just the other day. It was magical.
100%.
Yep. I don't allow myself fast food all that often, okay? But the other day I went out, got myself a number 7, no pickles, no onions, thank you very much, and yes, I'll go large on the fries.
Yes.
I ate the fries. I ate said cheeseburgers. Uh-huh. I sucked down half of the Sprite. And
yes.
Then, as I was ready to wipe my hands and throw it away...
What happened, Raven?
3 fries at the bottom of the bag, and they were the largest fries in the entire order.
What?
It was crazy.
Woo!
I'm a champion. Thank you. I know.
They're a little bit cold, but who cares? They're still fries.
I mean, it was like I floated the rest of the way home, truly.
You know what's even more magical? Because it happened to me at Burger King the other day.
What's that?
When you go to the bottom of the bag and there's a rogue onion ring. You didn't even order
onion rings.
Right, it's just an extra one.
It's just an onion ring that somehow managed to get in there.
They do that sometimes.
My car smelled like Burger King for the last 3 days. I'm not really sure what to do about that. It won't go away.
Instant gratification is a thing here, but the challenger today, number 5 seed in the Raven Division, again, waking up ahead of your alarm clock and being completely refreshed.
Now, let me explain this, too. This could mean a couple things. When you wake up and you're like, oh, all right, cool. The alarm clock didn't go off and I still have 20 minutes to sit in my bed and scroll through my Twitter account.
Mm.
Or my favorite, too, is when I wake up ahead of my alarm clock and I roll over to get up and I realize, wait a minute, I don't have to get up yet. I still have another hour to sleep. What?
It's amazing. It's almost like I'm younger.
What, was it crazy?
It's a time machine.
Did I go to bed at 5 o'clock last night? I have a whole other hour to sleep?
Here's the thing. Both great competitors, only one can move on.
It's March Gladness. Your votes determines what makes you the most happy. Every day it's a new matchup until we crown the ultimate winner. If you want to see the full bracket breakdown, you can head to annaonraven.com. Now, today's matchup comes out of the Raven Division, the number 4 seed. Finding fries at the bottom of your fast food bag?
Oh, it's a reward every single time. It's like, wait, these are for me? I'm a winner. Winner, winner, fries, dinner.
Number 5, right up against it, waking up ahead of your alarm clock.
Ooh, and if you feel refreshed or if it's the middle of the night and you got a few hours, either way, it feels good.
Yes. What brings you the most joy, though? 1-800-330-9999. Hey, it's Ian on Raven.
Definitely waking up before the alarm clock. Refreshed.
I agree with you, and I can't believe how many people don't. This is an upset to me.
You underestimate the power of sodium and salt.
Yep.
People love fries.
Thank you for the call.
Ann Raven, what do you think? Is it going to be fries at the bottom of the fast food bag or waking up ahead of your alarm clock?
Waking up ahead of my alarm clock.
See, I agree with you.
5 minutes before the alarm goes off.
Whew. It's a good feeling. It is my favorite feeling. Literally my favorite feeling. When I wake up and it's 1:10 a.m. and I know I can sleep for like 2.5 more hours. Boom!
That's good, too. That's good, too. But that's usually when I have to get up and go to the bathroom.
Yeah.
Right. When you wake up 5 minutes before the alarm and you, like Raven said, you're refreshed.
That's the best.
I feel great. It's a great way to start the day.
I'm going
to
take on the world.
I'll get my french fries later.
Anna Raven, what's making it to the next round? Finding fries at the bottom of your fast food bag or waking up ahead of your alarm clock?
Ahead of the alarm.
Anna Raven, what's making it to the next round? Waking up ahead of your alarm clock or finding fries at the bottom of your fast food bag?
Definitely think the fries. That's for sure. I love that feeling when you get the extra one.
I mean, there's nothing like two. If you're sad when you look and you see that your fries is a smaller order, but when you discover that some just spilled out. Oh, it's good.
Yeah.
It's good. And Ann Raven, what do you think? Who's moving on in the Raven Division? Is it going to be finding fries at the bottom of your fast food bag or waking up ahead of your alarm clock?
Oh, definitely the fries.
Yeah, your fries are good. I'm telling you, the fries that I found in the bottom of my bag the other day, Anna, I mean, one of those fries must have been 7 inches long. It was the length of my hand almost. It was amazing.
It is good when that happens.
I can't believe the tally looks like this.
I know. So the calls were there today for waking up ahead of your alarm clock, but social media counts just as much as well as your text messages. And at the end of the day, when everything is all said and done, finding fries at the bottom of your fast food bag makes it to the Elite Eight.
It's really nice of everybody to text in those votes, too, or put it on Facebook when they've got the salty, greasy fry fingers right at that moment.
Yeah, just a greasy screen.
I mean, your phone's going to smell like that for the rest of the day.
Yep.
You're welcome.
I met a woman at a party, and she told me that for her job, she was a mystery shopper. And I was like, come on!
Right. That's not even true. How could that be true? That's not a real thing anymore. It's like a myth.
Right. Turns out it actually is. Carrie Medina is a senior vice president of operation at Ipsos, which you make mystery shoppers. That's what you do. You recruit them and you train them, and then they get to go and do this, right?
Absolutely. It is a completely real thing, and it's a fairly robust industry that a lot of people just don't know about. It's kind of a hidden gem.
Carrie, tell me the truth here. Hidden gem or not? Do I have to be like related to somebody? Mafioso? Do I have to have a lobbying team? How do I get a job like this?
It's super easy. So it's fast. It's free. You just have to be 18 years old. You need to have access to a computer and probably a smartphone, and then do a little bit of Googling on the internet, looking for mystery shopping providers, follow a very quick sign-up process that takes about 5 minutes, and you can start working literally within moments.
Is it full-time or part-time?
So that really depends on the individual. You can do it full time if you want to, but I would say a typical mystery shopper will look for projects in their area and do it kind of on their own, like, part-time basis.
When I get fired, that's when I'm going to be a full-time mystery shopper.
Well, Carrie, if we wanted to be professionals, are there certain ways that we can get a better rate, right? Like, so what if we wear disguises? What if Anna and I have different personas when we go into these stores?
You can totally do that. We have professional mystery shoppers that will wear disguises, especially if you work for a mystery shopping company that shops a particular merchant or brand over and over and over again. Some people will, you know, throw on a ball cap or put on a pair of sunglasses or, you know, change up how they look.
What kind of businesses do, like, typically people secret shop?
Mystery shopping allows any industry like this unbiased line of sight into what their customers actually experience. So depending on the company that you sign up with, your options are going to vary. But at Ipsos, we offer opportunities in retail, banks, tech stores, gas stations. Basically, if you shop there as a consumer, there's a strong chance that we do too.
How much money do you make? Right? Because that's what people want to know. Like,
well, I think it's got to come down to gigs, right?
This is a great question. This industry is geared for the hustler, right? So if you are out there and you are looking to make money, you can. It will vary by the individual. Typically, an average just basic mystery shop will pay you $10 to $20 per shop assignment, plus any reimbursements that any company would offer. Mm-hmm. But then we have other opportunities. We have, you know, like, covert audits that can take you a couple of hours to do, where you may have to dip in and dip out. And those can go anywhere from $50 up to $200.
So I'm going to drive into the country, and that's where I'm going to debut my French accent while I shop. I'm going to be as covert as possible. Like, it's going to be crazy. I'm going to make so much money.
I know. Carrie, so if people wanted to actually try to do this, like, for your company, where do they go and fill out information?
You would visit www.ishopforipsos.com and click to sign up to be a shopper. It's really intuitive and user-friendly. The cool thing about it is there's no obligation, right? You can sign up as a shopper. You can look and see what's available in your area, but you don't ever have to do one, or you can start immediately.
37, Raven. Okay. That is the magic age that they say that's your peak. That's when you look the best.
I feel like when a new article comes out, they'll probably pinpoint it at a different age. So I'm not going to panic too much, because that's in my rearview mirror, sadly.
See, I would say 33 was when I peaked. That was, like, I think my best.
Why would you pick an age that's further away from where you are?
Because it's just the truth. So that's what science says. They did a whole bunch of research, and they say that you peak in looks at the age of 37. But 2/3 of Americans believe the best is ahead of them.
Okay. Well, I mean, if it's based on looks, I guess, all right, you know, I'll take that. Maybe then I would go younger. I'm thinking, like, overall, I felt pretty good at 37. That's true. I felt pretty good at 33, too. At 28, I thought I'd live forever.
Yeah. When I was 37, I was pregnant, so I don't know if I would go with that as my best-looking time, unless you're really into that kind of thing, like giant whales.
There's a whole group of that, those types.
Let's not get to that. Trending all over Twitter right now is the hashtag Don't Look Your Age Challenge. Mm-hmm. So where people are posting these pictures of themselves, and then people are guessing their ages because they look so much younger.
Okay, congratulations to them.
And it's true. If you look at this, like, you can't believe how young these people look versus what they are. And I'll be honest, I always think I look younger than what I am. Right? Doesn't everybody think that? They're like, no way people would believe I'm this age. You know?
Well, if you've got a strong self-esteem anyways.
Yeah. So Raven and I took a picture at 5 o'clock this morning when we got here to start the show.
Our finest hour of the day.
Always. That's when we look the bushiest tail. It's the opposite. And we posted it on our Instagram and our Facebook and Twitter at Anna and Raven. And we asked people to guess how old we were. Raven, how old do you think people said you were?
Oh, God. Well, hairline not doing me any favors lately. I mean, I don't know. I didn't check the angles or anything like that. I'm guessing that they're probably saying I'm nearing 50.
You think so?
And I'll be so mad at them. May have 40 if they're generous.
Well,
I'd be like to be closer in my 40s. When somebody tells me I look 40 now, I like that.
So your age range was between 37 and 49.
37?
Yeah. You want to hug that person.
How many people said 49? Because if it's a small number, I'm going to find you.
Yeah. How old are you actually?
I'm 45.
Mm-hmm. And for me, most people said I was between the ages of 35 and 42. And I'm 40. But according to my scale that monitors what my body is,
yes.
It says I'm 44, which is terrible. It's an awful, awful feeling.
I'm sorry that happened to you.
So I looked online to how to make yourself look younger, right?
Mm-hmm.
And besides all the plastic surgery and things you can do.
Right.
And oddly, what I keep seeing over and over again is about your eyebrows. You have to embrace thick eyebrows, darken your eyebrows, use castor oil on your eyebrows.
Wow.
Yeah.
Well, I was naturally born furry. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, hairline says 45, eyebrows says 22.
Couples Court on the Anna and Raven Show.
Every weekday morning, a couple joins us. They let us know what their disagreement is about, and then you decide who's right. Greg and Natalie. Natalie, what's going on?
Hey, so my husband and I, we've been married for years. We finally moved into a new home, which we're excited. I would like to send out, like, we've moved an announcement, like, from our apartment. My husband is so against putting a link to a registry for gifts. He thinks it's, like, super tacky. I'm like, it's just an option. People can have options, you know, to buy a gift if they want it. He thinks that because we've been together and this is not like our first home technically, that we shouldn't be asking for gifts. I'm like, it's not that big of a deal. Come on.
Greg, what? You're against the registry?
Yeah, completely. I like you said, I think it's super tacky because adding a registry, it's not a suggestion. It's kind of an implication. I mean, if we want to have a housewarming party where people come over, and then maybe they'll think to buy a gift, and then it's entirely on them because we're just having a party. But it's another thing to, like, invite people that aren't going to come see it, and they're going to buy us stuff. It's our, like, you know, second house. Been married forever.
You know, this is interesting, Anna, actually, because my wife just said something to me about this recently. Is a friend, they're having their third child, and they threw another shower. And my wife was like, come on.
That's a sprinkle.
Whatever it is,
right, yeah.
I mean, whatever it was, there was a registry for gifts and so forth. And my wife was kind of like, all right, you got to gift the first one. You got to gift the second one. She's like, by the third, they're wearing the other one's stuff. And I was like, you know what? Another kid means another deductible means another party.
So, do you think that just because you moved to a new home, you're looking for...
New toaster?
Yeah.
All right, maybe one of them ninja blenders. Those are always fun.
Well, our audience may agree with you, Natalie. What's the big deal? You put the registry link on the announcement card, and maybe if people want to send you gifts, now they know exactly what you need. They send from it, and if they don't, they don't. What's the big deal? But they may see Greg's side, too. It's tacky. Just like getting the third invitation to a third baby in shower. You just feel like, how much can you ask from people? You're moving into a new home. It's not your first home.
I mean, it's only 16 months after the other one. The clothes are going to fit, like, tomorrow. 1-800-330-9999. Whose side are you on? It's the Couples Court with Anna and Raven.
Greg and Natalie just bought a new home, and they're sending out the announcements, the we moved announcement. So Natalie wants to put a link to a registry for gifts on that announcement in case people want to buy her things, send her things. They've been married a while. This isn't their first home. Greg just says that's tacky.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, but it is their first house, right? So they've had a condo. They've had a townhouse. It is their first house. You've got a yard now. You could have a fence and stuff like that. Just feels a little bit different.
What do you think? Putting a link to a registry for gifts for your new home on an announcement? Whoa, those words didn't want to come out. Woo! Whose side are you on? 1-800-330-9999. Couples Court.
Definitely the husband's side. That's real tacky.
What's the expiration on that, though? You know, because there is a feeling when you buy a new house. It's not the same as a condo or a townhouse, even if you've been together. It's obviously a celebration, right? I mean, you're moving up.
I think you could register for your bridal shower or your wedding, but that's it. You can't register for home stuff for your first new home. Like, I just think that's... Let's stop asking people for stuff. Like, if you want a blender, ask your mom and dad to buy you a blender. Or you know what? Get your coupon for Bed Bath & Beyond and go buy it yourself.
Wow.
Whose side are you on? 1-800-330-9999. Couples Court. Greg and Natalie just bought a new house, and they're sending out those announcements, you know, the ones that say, we moved. And Natalie wants to put a link to a registry so people could buy them gifts if they want to.
Greg thinks this is totally tacky. He says, we can't have a housewarming. We've been together for years.
Whose side are you on? 1-800-330-9999. Hi, Couples Court, Anna and Raven.
Oh, I'm on the guy's side, the husband's side. Totally tacky. Totally tacky. You know what? If someone wants to bring a gift, let them bring a gift on their own or send a gift, but... No way. You're moving into a house and you've already been together for years? No way.
Yep. I think that if you have the barbecue, you're safe. But I get what you're saying.
Right.
I think if you have a barbecue, people are going to bring you something. Oh, here's for the new house.
Yeah, but they're going to bring you wine and beer. They're not going to bring you
a toaster.
For the
most part. Mm-hmm. For the most part.
Anna and Raven, whose side are you on?
I'm on his side. I think it's Tacky.
Thank you for the call. A lot of people are just saying Tacky. Hi, it's Anna and Raven. Whose side are you on?
I am definitely on the husband's side. I think it is extremely tacky.
Wouldn't it be nice, though, if somebody brought you a new Soda Stream or one of them Keurigs? What number are they on now? It's like 3.0 or something like that. I don't know. Bring me one of those, all right? The Soda Stream comes in teal this year. I really like that.
Yeah.
I'm not telling you to break the bank, but a little something.
The verdict is in. Jury foreman, what are the results?
Greg, our audience agreed with you. It's just tacky. You know, it's one thing when it's your first home, when you first get married, but at some point, the registries have to end.
That's what I've been saying this whole time. I think it's, I want gifts as well, but I also don't want to do that to our friends and family.
No. I'm so frustrated.
Natalie, if you really want to score some goodies, make sure that you guys get the grill in place and things fired up. And once the patio set's ready to go, have yourself a housewarming. Then you're definitely going to get something.
All right. If you have a problem, too, send an email. couplescore@annaandraven.com.
Can't beat Raven.
Hi, it's Anna and Raven. Who's this?
Hey, this is Nikki. How are you?
I'm great, Nikki. Can you please ask Raven to leave the room?
Raven, get on out.
All right. Good luck, Nikki.
All right, Nikki, we've got $1,400 on the line. Raven's walking out of here. When that door closes, he can't hear us. We're in a soundproof studio. I'm going to ask you 5 pop culture questions. You have 3 seconds to answer each one. I'll bring them back in. Ask them the same 5 questions. Whoever gets the most right wins. If it's a tie, it goes to Raven. You ready to play?
Let's do it.
Number 1, American Horror Story star Evan Peters will play Jeffrey Dahmer in a new Netflix series. What superhero does he play in the X-Men series?
Flash or the fast one? I don't know.
Number 2, Chrissy Teigen has officially quit Twitter and deleted her account after she said that the negativity was having an impact on her mental health. Who is her husband?
I don't know.
Nikki! Number 3, Lily.
That's a good start.
That's all right. Lily from AT&T, the one from the commercials, she says in all the new commercials, she's only standing behind the desk because she's hiding her body. She says so many people were posting inappropriate comments about her figure online. What does AT&T stand for?
Oh, my God. telephone tower? I don't know.
Number 4, Emma Stone and her husband welcomed their first baby earlier this month. No word yet on whether it's a boy or a girl. Who was Emma Stone's romantic interest and co-star in La La Land?
Gosling? Ryan Gosling?
Number 5, Pepsi and Peeps teamed up to make a marshmallow-flavored cola. What color was the original Peep?
Yellow?
All right. Well, I mean, you came back at the end. I don't know if it's enough, I'll be honest. But let me bring him back in. Yep.
You.
Okay, so Nikki got 2 out of 5.
2 out of 5 with $1,400 on the line. Nikki, come on. All right, let's see how I do. Maybe they're really hard.
Number 1, American Horror Story. Evan Peters will play Jeffrey Dahmer in a new Netflix series. What superhero does he play in the X-Men series?
I saw that. He's Quicksilver.
That is correct. Number 2, Chrissy Teigen has officially quit Twitter and deleted her account after she said the negativity was having an impact on her mental health.
Yeah, it's fine. She'll talk to people other ways.
Who is her husband?
John Legend.
Yes.
Come on. I saw that photo. Great photo. Yeah.
Number 3, Lily from the AT&T commercials says that she's going to be standing behind a desk hiding her body in all the new commercials because so many people were posting inappropriate comments about her figure online. Creeps.
What
so
a
many
world,
creeps.
Right? What a world, huh?
I could tell you stories. All right. What does AT&T stand for?
American. Yeah, I don't know. It's telephones in there. I know that.
American Telephone and Telegraph.
Yeah.
Okay.
That's it. Yeah.
Number 4, Emma Stone and her husband welcomed their first baby earlier this month. No word yet on whether it's a boy or a girl.
Okay.
Who was Emma Stone's romantic interest and co-star in La La Land?
Gosling. Ryan Gosling.
Yes. And number 5, Pepsi and Peeps teamed up to make marshmallow-flavored cola. What color was the original Peep?
I'll just take a shot and say yellow?
Yeah, yellow or white would have been correct.
Right, because it's supposed to be a chick, right?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. All right, I'm sorry, Nikki. He beat you 4-2 this morning. We will get you an Anna and Raven t-shirt.
All right, my name's Nikki, and I cannot beat Raven.
Well, thank you for trying, Nikki. Hold on.
Better luck next time. Enjoy that shirt, girl.
Another $100 in the jackpot. That means Monday morning you'll be playing for $1,500.